Just great to see you. If you're visiting today, I'm Rob Rigg. I'm one of the elders here at Anchor Way. I'm very blessed to be that. And filling in for David as he's on sabbatical for a few weeks. And we can pray for him just that it's a special time for him and his family to do this. I ran into an old friend a couple days ago and I said, "How's it going?" And he said, "Well, at least I'm vertical." And I thought, wow. That's interesting. I hope you're more than just vertical today, okay? We have a God who loves us, wants us to know him, develop a personal relationship with him. And as we shared last Sunday, one of the many things that we have in our relationship with the Lord is that we have hope, okay? Not this kind of hope, but confident expectation. If God's word says it, we can bet on it. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is who he said he is, and that's the Lord. One day. That's an amazing verse, isn't it? Philippians chapter 2, verse 11. It will be a day of great rejoicing for some, right? And a day of extreme sadness and regret for many. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slow in his promise to return, but he's what? Patient. He's incredibly patient. Well, the stuff that's going on in our world today, if you were in charge, it'd be over, right? That's it. I'm done. But he's not willing that what? Any should perish. That any should perish. He wants as many as possible to come to know him. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The most important issue of life. Do you know Jesus?
Right.
Do you have a personal relationship with him? Any of you remember a guy by the name of Bob Hope?
Yeah.
Some of you oldies remember Bob. Pretty popular entertainer. About 33 or 34 years ago now, I was pastor at Uzoa Bible Church. And I went with some guys from our church to a leadership conference in Palm Springs, California. And while we were there, I found out that Bob Hope lived in the area. And I thought it would be neat to go up to his house and get to know him. It's a true story. So we piled in our car, and we drove up this hillside all the way to the top of this hill and came to his driveway with a guard shack and a gate across the road. And a guard came out, and I found out, much to my surprise, that Bob Hope was not at all interested in getting to know me or in my getting to know him. The guard, in fact, made it pretty clear. Get out. Get lost. I thought of that this week, that situation, as I was reading through Psalm 19 is where we're heading today, so you can move there in your Bible. We have a little bit different today. We were planning on being outside in the tent, and so we didn't have any stuff to put on the computer, but we threw a few things on there, and hopefully Meg can follow me along here today. I thought about this situation that I had with Bob Hope, because Psalm 19, as we'll see this morning, presents the exact opposite of that situation, the exact opposite. We see it in Psalm 19 that it's God's desire, it's his deep longing of his heart is to have a relationship with us, to know him, have an intimate, personal relationship with him, with his prized creations, you and me, men and women. He desires that we know him personally, that we would draw close to him, that we would, according to the Bible, abide with him, feel comfortable in his presence. And then in Psalm 15, it says that we would hang out in his tent. Hang out with him in his tent. Now, the barrier to that kind of personal relationship with God is sin. It always has been, always will be, that sin separates us from God. But Christ came to remove that barrier, right? And make it possible for us to know him. And I want you to understand this morning that it's God's supreme desire for us to know him. He knows us. He made us. He knows what's going on in your hearts this very moment. He knows exactly how we are wired. He knows exactly what we need. And as we'll see this morning, he has revealed himself in three specific ways so that we could know him. He's not hiding from us. He doesn't have a barricade, and there's no guard in front. He wants us to know him. Now, to know somebody or know of somebody and to know someone is two different things. Two completely different things. The word know in the Greek is the word gnosko, which means to have a personal relationship with. In Genesis 4:1, the Bible says that Adam knew Eve. He didn't know of her or about her or that she just moved into the garden. He knew her intimately, not just sexually, but he knew her in every way possible. God desires that we know him as much as we possibly can. Remember in John 4, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who Jesus came up to, and this was really odd for a Jewish person to ask a Samaritan woman, especially, for a drink. And so he goes up to her and he says this, the Samaritan woman at the well, Jesus asked her for some water and she said this, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" And Jesus said to her, if you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. If you knew who he was, if you knew him. And to drive the point home about this knowing God personally, knowing God personally and intimately is the basis for getting into the kingdom of God. One of the saddest verses or bunches of verses, 21 to 23 in the Bible, is Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? Weren't we good people?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me.' I don't know you. I don't know you." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says this about getting to know Christ. He says, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything as loss to the surpassing greatness of what? Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, whose for the sake I've lost all things and count them but what? A rubbish. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God in faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." Then he says this, "Not that I have already obtained this or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. What a powerful verse that is. God desires that we know him, his character, his ways, his attributes, his power, his justice, his mercy, his understanding, his purposes, his grace, and his forgiveness. What he is all about. Psalm 19 basically shares with us three ways in which God reveals himself to us so that ultimately we may know him. Not just about him, but that we would be able to know him. And the Bible uses the word glory to define what God is all about. Turn, if you have your Bible, to Psalm 19. And we're going to read the first four verses of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Then it says this, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. What does the heaven declare? There is a God. There is a God. David says, heavens are telling or declaring the glory of God. When we look at the heavens and the order in space and how precise and exact things are, that declares, it reveals the glory of God, the greatness of God. So the heavens reveal there is a God. It's what we call general revelation and has three characteristics to it. Number one, it's continuous. It says in this portion, day after day after day after day, night after night, this testimony is given without intermission. God displays his glory continuously, not just in the heavens, but in all of creation. We live in this amazing place in the world, where we can see God's creation all around us. And then you look at a little baby, this amazing little human being that started out like the size of a kernel of corn, a fertilized egg that is a human being that will one day come on the scene. It's just amazing. I'm just flabbergasted at, and I'm not a doctor or anything. I mean, I was a coroner, so I found out a few things about the body. But the body is just this amazing thing. And to me personally, how a doctor can believe there is no God is amazing to me. It's just totally amazing. The body and how it functions. Every time you turn around, God displays his glory. Right. Every time. So not only is it continuous, but secondly, it's abundant. Day after day pours forth speech. Nothing is said, but it's just speaking of the glory of God. Night after night reveals knowledge. What knowledge? There is a God.
Right.
There is a God. Not only is it continuous and abundance, it's universal. It's all over the world. Their voice has gone out throughout the earth, their utterances to the end of the world, David says. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every time man turns around, wherever he or she is in the world, God declares his creation, his glory. He's not hiding.
Right.
He's not hiding. Look quickly at Romans chapter 1, if you have your Bible. Speaking to those that have suppressed the truth about God. And let me just say this, just as a side note. I don't think there are such things as atheists. Oh, Rob, you are stepping on delicate ground there. There are agnostics, but once you suppress the truth long enough, you start to believe it, okay? And that's exactly what Romans 1, 19 and 20 says. Speaking to those who have suppressed the truth about God, since what may be known about God is what? Plain to them. Because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his external, eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And then it says this, so that men are what? Without excuse. There's no excuse.
Right.
I mean, you look around, there's no excuse for you to say, this just happened. We're here by accident. You're an accident. So the heavens declare the glory of God. Secondly, this psalm tells us that God reveals himself. We get to know him through his word. First creation says there is a God. And miraculously, this book, God's word, has been protected through the ages to declare his glory. Whereas the first revelation is general, the second is special. God has miraculously given and protected and spread his word around the world so that we today have a clear understanding of who God is, how we got here, how we're to live while we're here in order to be blessed, and what we need to stay away from, and what's going to happen when we're gone, when this thing's over. This book has it all. The word declares what God is all about. God cares for you and me. So he has given us his word to protect us from the worst and provide us the best. And as you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, submit to the word, we find these six definitions in verses 7 through 9 about the word. It says the word is perfect, restoring the soul. It's sure, making wise the simple. It's right, rejoicing the heart. It's pure, enlightening the eyes. It's clear, it's clean, enduring forever, and it's true. It's righteous altogether. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, and true. The word declares the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's desire for us to know him. If you forget everything else I say today, it's God's desire to know you, to have a personal relationship with you. And he's declared himself in creation and in his word, and his final attempt he reveals to us is the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld what? His glory. The Bible says in John 1:14, God's glory, what he is all about. Do you want to know God? Look at Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He has declared him. Jesus has declared God in the flesh. The Son reveals the glory of the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, 1 through 3, if you have your Bible, turn there. Quickly, I'm going to read it. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3 says this, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophet at many times in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by the power of his word. This awesome God who created the world and everything in it, John chapter 1, 1 through 5, you ought to read it. Jesus was the creator.
Right.
He was with God in the beginning, and everything was created through him. It's totally amazing. This awesome God who created the world and everything in it, this all-knowing God who has given us the great how-to manual, how to live this life. This great God who so loved the world that he gave himself that we might live abundantly now and eternally with him someday, wants to know you. That's totally amazing. He wants to know you. Do you know him as your rock and your redeemer and your savior? It is the most important decision of your life. And you can make that decision today if you haven't. You can say, I need a savior. I need to know Jesus in a personal way. And if you are that person today that you know about Jesus, but you don't know him, we would love to talk to you and encourage you in your walk with the Lord, in your getting to know him. The most important decision of your life, do you know Jesus? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have done everything that you could do to reveal yourself to us so that we could get to know you. Creation cries out, there is a God. Your word explains who you are and what you've done. And then you wanted so much for us to know you. You showed up in the flesh. You showed us how to live. And then died to deal with the thing that keeps us from knowing you, our sin. Thank you, Lord. And may the desire of our hearts be to know you, to worship you, and to praise you. We love you, Jesus. And we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand with me? We're going to do something that a lot of churches do every week, and that is we're going to sing the doxology. And I want you to sing it as somebody that has a connection to it, okay? That you, I'm praising you, Lord, because I know you and you know me. And I've given my life to you because you gave your life for me. There's three strong themes in the Psalms: knowing God, worshiping God, and praising God. We cannot praise a God we do not worship. We cannot worship a God we do not know. And we cannot know a God who we don't spend time with. And that's the challenge for us today, that we would spend time getting to know the Lord. And the interesting thing is we can't spend time with a God if we're undisciplined. And we cannot discipline ourselves unless we choose to. That's our prayer today, is that we would choose to do that. We have a choice to make.